Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. We are live. Today is August 13th, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you on with us tonight. Boy, do we have a night for you tonight here at Ark of Grace. So get ready, buckle up, because this is going to be a prophetically charged night. We're going to say hi to some of you coming in the chat, as we always do. Let's see here. I see South Carolina. Hello. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Unionvale, that's about 10 minutes up the road from us. Hello to our neighbors who are watching us in Unionvale as well. God bless you. I see Ontario, Canada. Hello to all of our wonderful viewers in Canada. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Let's see. The chat is going so fast. Little Rock, Arkansas. God bless you. Fiji Islands. Well, hello to our wonderful viewers in Fiji that are watching us tonight. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Let's see what else. West Virginia. I see Braunfels, Texas, and Salem, Virginia. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Let's see who else. Shalom to all of you. Yes, I see all of you writing shalom in the chat. Indiantown, Florida, Fresno, California, San Antonio, Texas, Hebron, Kentucky. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Jamaica, hello, and God bless our wonderful viewers in Jamaica who are watching tonight. Very happy to have you on with us. I see Nebraska, Kansas City, Missouri, Georgia, Washington State. God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Hello to our neighbors in New Jersey who are watching tonight. We're very happy to have you on with us as well. Oh, let's see here. I see, wow. I think there's Wisconsin in here, Washington, D.C., Colorado. Hello to all of you. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. I see more Canadas coming in. Gallatin, Tennessee, Michigan, Fenton, Michigan. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Hello to you in Pennsylvania and Deming, New Mexico coming in. Bennett, Colorado as well. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. I see Daytona Beach, Florida as well. We'll do a few more here. Antwerp, New York. Hello to our neighbors in New York. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Let me go all the way to the bottom of the chat now. Oh, I see Toronto, Ohio, Trinidad and Tobago. Hello. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Hello also to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team that are on with us. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So we are going to open up in prayer as we always do, but we are going to pray tonight for what we're getting into, because this is it. Tonight is Mystery Babylon Revealed, one of the most controversial chapters in Revelation 17. We're going to bring it all the way into today. So we're going to expose and show what Mystery Babylon really is. And we're going to literally break down not only the scriptures, but you're going to be amazed at how it is at work today. And it is working in the background today, and what is happening within the earth. So it's going to be a prophetically charged night. If you've ever wanted to understand the book of Revelation, if you are curious about Mystery Babylon, if you know people who are curious about this topic, you can share this broadcast, because it is going to be, this broadcast may be a little longer. I have a lot of notes, and we'll see how many we get through tonight, because you have to do this justice if you're going to tackle the book of Revelation in the time we're in. And more, the Lord has been compelling me to start tackling the book of Revelation with our viewers because of the times we are in. So let's open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord, and we are going to be off and running tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we just humble ourselves before you this day, Lord. We come before your courts with thanksgiving and praise, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is written, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, help us to seek your kingdom first. Teach us what pleases you today, Lord. Equip us to walk in your ways, Father God. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ as a covering and defense for this day, Father. Father, we just humble ourselves before you, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short. We all sin and fall incredibly short of the glory of God. And Father, we just praise you that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his blood. He willingly laid down his life. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We praise you, Father God, with them. Jesus Christ said, it is finished. And he said the word tetelestai, paid in full, that he blotted out ordinances. He disarmed principalities and powers. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He miraculously rose again. He ascended back to take his victorious rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let your presence, Father, your might, your truth, your power, your holiness, the weight of the conviction of who you are, Father God, mightily move in this place and through this broadcast. Let the Holy Spirit be the counselor, Father, and counsel me and counsel those, Father, who are watching, that they would tangibly feel the presence of Almighty God moving. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would go before us tonight. Be our front and rear guard. Order our steps, order this broadcast, order my words, Father God, as we go forth in you. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me and our team, Lord, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you would loose, send, and dispatch right now your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to fill this home inside and out, to surround the skies, the land above and below, north, south, east, and west, to guard against every dimensional access point. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, sickness, Father God, attack, witchcraft, spell, incantation, dark art, dark magic, black magic, any form of weaponized demonic activity, interference, Father God, that the enemy and his agents in any way, shape, or form, or through anyone would deploy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command it destroyed, dismantled, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And in the name of Jesus Christ, cast out and back to the areas you have designated for such, Father God, to be blocked from returning or having anything sent in its place. Father, we just ask you to take all the glory for yourself. According to Ephesians chapter 6, we ask you to put your whole and complete armor on us this day, that the shield of faith would go up in front of us to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command every arrow, weapon, and dart being fired at us by the enemy and his agents be reversed upon the senders now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we command in the name of Jesus Christ, be activated the sword of the Spirit and all its capabilities to now work in our favor and to destroy the snares the enemy would attempt to place in our way, to pierce, puncture, dismantle, and destroy every plot, assignment, word, weapon, device, agent, snare, or campaign the enemy would attempt to deploy at us, to remove every physical and spiritual blockade and embargo the enemy has attempted to place in our way, to destroy every demonic conspiracy that the enemy would attempt to deploy, and to make the way straight for us to walk in the victory, power, authority, prosperity, Father God, that Almighty God has ordained for us. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. We praise you. You are the potter. We most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. We praise you, Father God, that you are our shepherd. We shall not be in want, Father God. We praise you, Father God, that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil. Our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father. Take all the glory for yourself as we go forth, Father God. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, Lord. And we praise you for that, Father God. And we praise you for the covenant that we have with you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you who were jumping on during prayer. Don't mind me and my electrolytes here. I'm sipping on them while we do this teaching. And if you could like this broadcast and subscribe and share it, we would very much appreciate it. We're very grateful. Hit the notification bell. You'll be notified whenever we post content. But if you could share this, this is something that I believe in this hour, the leadership of the church has got to teach revelation. Get into the book of Revelation, because too much of the church is scared of that book. And this book is the only book in the Bible where it's written that you will get a blessing for actually reading it. That is written at the beginning. It's either at the beginning or the very end of the book of Revelation. And so many people have shied away from it because of its apocalyptic nature. And it's about the time the church sees it is a weapon for us to be utilized in this time, to understand it, to discern the times that we are in, so that we are not afraid and we don't live in fear, because the Lord says, fear not, but we have the wisdom to understand the sign of the times, the season that we are in, and what we are heading towards. And this is why it is so important for leadership of the church right now to do this. Okay. Everyone ready? Get ready for this, guys, because we're going deep tonight. We are going deep with Revelation 17. This is Mystery Babylon Revealed. So the chapter, Revelation 17, is not nearly about one woman. It reveals the spiritual system behind world rebellion that has existed throughout history and reaches its climax just before Christ returns. So at the end of Revelation 16, the seventh bowl is poured out. God's wrath, which is beyond what the earth has ever experienced prior to Revelation 17, it reaches its completion. Now John is shown, he's taken by the Lord and shown why Babylon must be judged. So instead of moving chronologically in a way, in the book of Revelation, there's a pause to explain the character of Babylon before describing her destruction in chapters 18 and 19. So in chapter 17, it's revealing Babylon. And in chapters 18 and 19, it's the fall of Mystery Babylon. Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters. Notice the emphasis, not simply the prostitute, but the judgment that is set to be carried out. God has already determined her end. Now, throughout scripture, prostitution is used spiritually, as a spiritual act, as well in the temple of false gods, where temple prostitutes did sexual acts that had heavy spiritual implications. Israel in scripture was called an adulteress. Tyre was called a harlot. Nineveh was called a prostitute. Nineveh is where the main temple of Ishtar was. Ishtar worship involved men dressing up as women and taking part in homosexual practices, and they considered themselves non-binary. So if we think the battle that we're dealing with today is a new one, it's not. It goes all the way back to ancient biblical times. Now, the image means spiritual unfaithfulness, not necessarily literal sexual sin, although that is incorporated in as a means of creating a spiritual tie and a lustful control. So the image in Revelation 17 is spiritual harlotry and unfaithfulness. And the woman, who we're going to get into, the woman on the beast, represents a system that systematically over time seduces humanity away from God to a blasphemous level that reaches its crescendo in Revelation 17. An entire system that has mysteriously been at work in the background within the earth to allure men away from Almighty God and Jesus Christ into spiritual slavery to become spiritual possessions and commodities in order to prop up the beast Babylon alliance, and in order to prop up the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, unholy trinity. You cannot have a religion without people funding it, following it, believing in it. You cannot have a religion without those components. Now, she's called the mother, and we're going to get into this, but she's called the mother of all harlots, okay? Mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots, which is a prostitute. A prostitute offers intimacy without covenant. Mystery Babylon is offering spiritual intimacy outside of God's law and covenant. In all honesty, it's intimacy with hell. That is exactly what false religion does. It promises peace without repentance, blessing without holiness, salvation without Christ, spirituality without truth, and worship without obedience. This is spiritual adultery. It is unclean. It is destructive. It is blasphemous to God. It opens spiritual gates for demons to claim territory over entire regions, cities, and family lines. In the book of James says himself in the New Testament, friendship with the world is spiritual adultery. In James 4:4, he says this. He says, you adulteress, do you not know that being the world's friend is loving the thing, and he says, do you not know that being the world's friend, that is loving the things of the world in parentheses, is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, prostitutes work for someone higher than them. They are literally pimped out to lure and seduce others into an unclean transaction. The tender from that transaction is funneled back to the head. This prostitute, the mother of all harlots, Mystery Babylon, works for the dragon, who is Satan himself. Now, prostitution involves economics. It involves a financial exchange. Money and an unclean act are exchanged, which completes the agreement and seals the spiritual legalities. Now, Revelation 17:2, this is what it says. She with whom the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality, and the inhabitants of the earth have become intoxicated with the wine of her immorality. The kings become intoxicated. Wine is alcohol. Alcohol are called spirits. Wine, when drank in significant quantities, lowers inhibitions, opens up the soul for influence, and influences the mind. It intoxicates so one cannot think clearly anymore about their actions. It opens them up to more suggestion. It opens their soul to spiritual influence. Wine is also drank through the mouth. It goes in through the mouth. Wine is aged. It gets more refined with time. They are ingesting her cup of uncleanness that is intoxicating, that has become more and more potent as the world has aged, as kingdoms have become more advanced. Now, notice, political power and spiritual corruption become partners. They make the ultimate agreement to not only deceive, but attempt to take dominion of the earth. Throughout history, governments have often united with false religion because religion is used to give legitimacy to political authority, while political authority protects religious power. If spiritual leadership gives legitimacy to a political authority and that religious authority is viewed as an authorized representative for the supreme being they serve, it gives even more legitimacy to that political power because it gives the presentation that a divine being has authorized the leadership of said individual. This is the exact reason Saul wanted Samuel, the prophet, to return with him after he sinned against the Lord and did not destroy all of Amalek. In fact, in 1 Samuel 15:24 through 27, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now please pardon my sin and return with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go away, Saul grabbed the hem of his robe to stop him, and it tore. The Lord already in the spirit, had legally tore the kingdom away from Saul. However, Saul wanted Samuel, the prophet, to return with him to the people to give the illusion that he was still chosen by God. Samuel's presence before the people validated Saul's position to them. However, the Lord had already ruled against Saul. Now, this is going to come into play more and more as we go through Revelation 17. This is the same reason the Pharisees and the government of Rome had an agreement. The government of Rome helps prop up the position of the Pharisees while the Pharisees go to work getting the people to agree with the hellish agenda of Rome and ratify it. Now, Revelation 17:3, and the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was entirely covered with blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. John is carried into the wilderness. Why the wilderness? Throughout scripture, the wilderness represents revelation. The wilderness also represents trial and testing. It is where Jesus Christ himself faced off against Satan in Matthew 4. If we look throughout the scripture, the Old and New Testament, Israel met God there. Moses fled there from Egypt. John the Baptist ministered there. Jesus was tempted there. The wilderness strips away distractions. It sifts so spiritual reality becomes visible. Now, this harlot, she rides the beast, Mystery Babylon, she rides the beast. That means she influences political power. She has an ability to steer it. If you look at the symbols of political power throughout the earth, of many of the times, an image of some type of beast is involved on their flag. England has a lion. The Democratic Party has a donkey. The Republican Party has an elephant. Spain has a beast on its flag. Sri Lanka, Wales. Animals represent world political systems. Now, she is not the beast itself. She's riding the beast. This suggests a system that works with earthly kingdoms rather than being identical to one government. Remember, this mystery looks to consolidate the governments of the earth under one headship. Many interpreters, therefore, understand the imagery to represent an unfaithful religious, cultural, or civilizational system allied with political power. The religious rides upon the political, helping steer it to legitimize it and ratify it to the masses. Mystery Babylon is not just any prostitute. She is the epitome of a temple prostitute. Temple prostitutes dwell in the temple of the false god and commit act after act of immorality that is also spiritual harlotry combined with a financial exchange to seal a covenant, all to please their master, where money and wealth are exchanged for those acts. Prostitutes are slaves to their master. In fact, in Babylon, the temples of Inanna were the centers of sacred prostitution. She was considered the false goddess of lust and war. In Babylon, lust and war, exactly what Mystery Babylon is consumed with. She wars against the saints. She lusts for the power of the earth and to have great influence over the political and the governmental leaders of the earth. In 2 Kings chapter 9, Jezebel's rule, her influence to steer the political powers, she steered Ahab's decisions. Her war against the prophets and those who would not bow to Baal stretched across the land. She rose atop the system of Baal. She is the prostitute for Baal's ambitions. She is adorned with everything expensive outwardly. Inwardly, her soul is consumed with the violence of hell. She was ultimately thrown down from a high place, which is exactly how Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, will fall. Jezebel's rise and fall is a foreshadowing of the rise and fall of Mystery Babylon as a system. Now, the scarlet beast she's riding, because she's riding a beast. Why is the beast scarlet colored? In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, which is a deep red color, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. This is what the Lord is doing with John by bringing him into the wilderness. He desires to reason with him and reveal unto him the mysteries that were to come and unfold within the earth. However, scarlet represents sin. Scarlet is a bright red color. It's attention grabbing. This beast is filled to the brim with the great sins of the earth. Scarlet biblically is also associated with immorality, particularly prostitution or adultery. So this beast is a global vehicle for spiritual prostitution. It carries the harlot. It holds up the harlot. It gives the harlot a great position of dominance, because the woman is riding the beast. Now, she's not the beast, she rides the beast. So in this, initially, she is influential in perhaps steering the direction of the beast, and the beast allows it for a time. Initially, the political system carries the religious system because she is being propped up higher by the beast. The beast is still the strength behind it all. Later, the unholy relationship with the beast is what brings her judgment and end. So this relationship is temporary, it is perverse, it is opportunistic. Now, the beast is a scarlet bright red color, full of blasphemous names, 7 heads, 10 horns. This immediately connects to Revelation chapter 13 that I taught on, I believe it was last week. Revelation 13, 1, and the dragon Satan stood on the sandy shore of the sea. Then I saw a vicious beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 royal crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. However, in Revelation 13, the woman on the beast, the harlot, is not yet introduced. Satan brings her in after the rise of the beast to falsify. He brings her in after the rise of the beast to validate this false system that is rising. Now, it is the Antichrist kingdom, the beast system. And I want to show you in modern day what this looks like, because there's a lot right now of foreshadowing that's happening that I'm going to show you throughout this teaching. So we're going to show you this picture. This is the statue in front of the European Parliament in France, the woman riding the beast. This is the statue that the European Parliament of France has in front of it. And then the euro. This is the euro. It's the woman riding the beast. Now, who is the woman on the euro? The woman depicted on this is called Europa, the figure from Greek mythology, who was a Phoenician princess who was abducted by Zeus, the king of the gods, who is Satan himself, and he's a false god, in the form of a bull, because Baal's the bull, and Baal has to do with Satan. Zeus is Satan, Baal is the bull, right? According to the myth, Zeus fell in love with Europa and decided to take her to the island of Crete, where they had sons together. So Zeus is Satan. Satan hijacks the religious system, and Mystery Babylon becomes the great seducer of it. So Mystery Babylon becomes the great seducer in which the beast system is going to benefit. Now, here's another picture from modern day. This was Katy Perry years ago at the Super Bowl. The woman riding the beast. This imagery keeps coming in because this is a mystery working in the background, Mystery Babylon, and it has to get humanity comfortable with the imagery of it before it will accept it. So this is why you keep seeing these things foreshadowed over and over and over again. Now, because the spirit of Antichrist and the mystery of lawlessness is at work in the earth, you will see these foreshadowings, which is getting people to accept the imagery first before they accept the beast himself. For Satan to get the masses to accept something, they must first mentally become comfortable with the concept, desensitized to its destructiveness, and then accept the truth, which is a deception. So it's a deception that is made to look like the truth that's not the truth. The beast is clothed in scarlet as well, because it's blood guilt, because the system has shed much blood. Now, in temple worship of false gods, you had two common practices in order to worship: blood sacrificed and temple prostitution. The woman on the beast represents this system, which is the economy and tender of hell. Now, go to Revelation chapter 17, 4. The woman, it lists what she wears. She wears gold, precious stones, pearls, purple, and scarlet. The woman riding the beast, Mystery Babylon, this is what she's wearing. Everything about her appears glorious, expensive, and grand. This is Satan's counterfeit glory. In order to make a false religious system believable, Satan has to counterfeit the glory and presence of the Lord. He must give the appearance of it just close enough. However, Satan is materialistic, hedonistic, opportunistic, and narcissistic. He himself, in 2 Peter 5:8 is referenced. It says Satan, he's likened onto a beast. In 2 Peter 5:8, it says he roams like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not a stalking lion, not a quiet lion. He comes in like a roaring lion. Now, notice this harlot on the beast resembles the wealth of kings, the economic wealth of the earth. She also resembles aspects of priestly garments to give the false air of holiness, of being the one who is the representative of God, when really she is the PR for hell. Counterfeit religion often imitates true worship while corrupting it. Now she has a golden cup. She holds this golden cup, and from a distance, it appears beautiful, wealthy, and valuable. But inside that cup are abominations, filthiness, and impurity. Now, this mirrors Jesus's rebuke of the Pharisees. Beautiful outside, corrupt within, partnering with the beast of Rome. Looks religious on the outside, but carries death and destruction within. Now, the Pharisees, to give the example, looked the part in the Gospels. They wore the religious garments. They had the system propping them up. They could quote the Torah. They looked holy. However, Jesus Christ called them whitewashed tombs. They needed the system of the Roman government to prop them up and allocate to them power, as the harlot is propped up by the beast system. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 through 28 says, "Woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. So you also outwardly seem to be just and upright to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Why? Because the mystery of lawlessness is connected to Mystery Babylon. And the mystery of lawlessness was at work back then, and the Pharisees had come into agreement with it. Now, the Greek word for lawlessness in Matthew 23:28 is anomia, A-N-O-M-I-A. It is a state of being without law. It is very similar to the word used in 2 Thessalonians, which describes the coming of the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, it says, "Let no one in any way deceive or entrap you, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, the Antichrist." Now, that word lawlessness is anomias, A-N-O-M-I-A-S, meaning without law or rebellion or against an established law. Now, going to Revelation 17:5, on her forehead is written, "Mystery Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes." That's what's written across her forehead. Mystery Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes. Mystery means something once hidden but is now revealed. Babylon is larger here than a city. It becomes the name of the worldwide system opposing God. This is why it's called the mother of all harlots. She's the mother of all prostitutes. You know why? Because mothers are who birth forth into the earth. It's mothers who do that. Now, Babylon began in Genesis. So keep that in mind, because we're going to go back to Genesis in just a minute. But the forehead is significant, that she's got this written on her forehead, because why does she have this written on her forehead? Because throughout the book of Revelation, there are two marks that are spoken of. The saints have God's name. The wicked receive the mark of the beast on the forehead or the right arm, because she's part of the beast system. The forehead symbolizes identity, allegiance, and what governs the mind. It signifies headship, that those who come into agreement with this harlot have given their minds over, which is connected to their soul. The mind, will, and soul are connected. The enemy is keenly aware of this. In order to ensnare one's soul, you must first get them to make a decision in their mind and mark their minds first. Agreement begins in the mind. Now, Babylon's name on the forehead, Mystery Babylon, right? The mother of harlots, signifies complete identification with her values and rebellion. They have become one, her and the beast system. Let us ascend. Let us rise. Mystery Babylon is a counterfeit bride at an unholy wedding. She represents an unholy union, because Revelation presents two women. Revelation 17 presents the mother of all harlots, Mystery Babylon, who's adorned with gold, pearls, luxury, everything costly, impressive to look at, and it represents the wealth of the earth. She seduces kings ultimately, and its spiritual DNA, Mystery Babylon, is a seducing spirit. Now, what is the definition of seduce? To attract or lead someone away from proper behavior or thinking, to lure, to induce, to engage in sexual activity by persuasion. Now, the synonym to this is to lure. A lure is a tool in which to ensnare prey. In fishing, you have a lure at the end of the fishing line that is a counterfeit that is meant to deceive the fish into latching on, thinking it's harmless when it's a snare. It's the same thing here. Christ made his disciples fishers of men. Mystery Babylon also seeks to be fishers of men, but through deception and manipulation. Now, in Revelation 21, just to give you context, there is a bride introduced. So Mystery Babylon is a bride at an unholy wedding. She is a prostitute. She's an illegitimate bride at an unholy wedding. In Revelation 21, a bride is introduced who is clothed in righteousness, descends from heaven. She belongs to Christ. She reigns forever. She is righteously adorned. So John intentionally contrasts these two women. One represents covenant faithfulness to God in a pure union. The other, a counterfeit system of power, wealth, and a spiritual unfaithfulness that is spiritual harlotry and a counterfeit union based on darkness and deception. No union can ultimately survive if that's its foundation. This is why Mystery Babylon ultimately falls. It hijacked God's system of covenant relationship and marriage, reverse engineered it to pervert it and create a union that is spiritually illegal before the court of God. Mystery Babylon's premise is that men do not understand this concept within the earth and so can easily be lured into a false union and a false covenant that now has these ties, which means now man must fulfill its obligation to the covenant. And on her forehead, her name, and this is what it says in Revelation 17, and on her forehead is a name, it was written a mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. That's what's written on her forehead. Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. John is unveiling a spiritual system that has existed since Genesis and reaches its climax in the last days. Now, the Greek word is mysterion. For mystery, it does not mean something impossible to understand. It means a hidden truth that God reveals to his people. Throughout the New Testament, mysteries are things hidden in previous generations, but were now being revealed. Examples include the mystery of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2. So when John writes Mystery Babylon, he is saying the Babylon I'm about to describe is not merely the historical Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar. Although the mystery did permeate through that kingdom, instead there is a hidden Babylon behind every Babylon that has been raised up in the earth. Mystery Babylon is the shadow system of dark spiritual government behind the advances of these spiritual political unions within the earth. The shadow governments we see today attempting to hijack nations is a preemptive manifestation of what Mystery Babylon is all about. This is why Revelation isn't merely about geography. It's about a spiritual kingdom. The physical city is only the visible expression. Behind it is an invisible, powerful kingdom that seeks a hostile takeover. Hell is hostile. It may present initially as helpful. It's a false help. It's a false heroism. It's like someone putting their hand out to rescue you and then immediately taking you and putting you in prison. Now, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That would be Mystery Babylon. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God. Babylon is never merely buildings. The building is only the product. It's only one of the products. It is ideas, religion, power, deception, economics, immorality, and idolatry all working together. In a highly organized, well-funded, well-promoted fashion that is meant to manipulate man's perception from different areas of the earth, herding them like cattle into one corrupt and depraved spiritual pen. The real enemy is spiritual. The root in which the physical is fed is spiritual. This is why you continually see these components of Babylon raised up over and over again throughout the earth. In order to stop that reproducing, the spiritual component has to be destroyed because mothers keep reproducing children, and she is the mother of harlots. Those are illegitimate children she's producing. Those children may all look and act a little different, yet they are all from the same source. They have the same DNA. Since the real enemy is spiritual, when one kingdom is destroyed, Mystery Babylon immediately goes to work to birth another spiritual leader slash kingdom into the earth that pushes the threshold of the last even further, with the goal being the ultimate beast system. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, the unholy trinity, with Mystery Babylon riding the beast system as the alluring harlot. Babylon itself means gate of the gods. So the name Babylon means gate of the gods, plural. So it's the gate. It's the entryway for the false gods to enter and establish themselves. It's the gate in which these systems of the earth enter to be raised up. Babel, which comes from Babylon, means anointed, the anointed gate of the gods, which is exactly what happens in Revelation. The anointed ones globally rise to dominate, except God has not anointed them. Hell has. Now, Babylon was initially birthed in the Garden of Eden. The catastrophic fall of man, the first organized rebellion against Almighty God involving man's participation, happened in the garden. Babel was the upgrade. The serpent's initial argument is what Babylon was built upon. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. This will give you wisdom and power to be equal and like God." Isn't that the mystery upon which Mystery Babylon is built? Attempting to build upon what is forbidden. alluring men to think they can be like God. One of the greatest insights is that Babylon did not begin with King Nebuchadnezzar. It began with Nimrod. Now, initially, the first rebellion happened in the garden. That was the seeds that then ended up bringing a harvest of Babel. So this begins with Nimrod in Genesis 10. And in Genesis 10, it tells us the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel. Babylon always seeks unity without God. It always presents a convincing and organized way to unify without God that is well thought out, well funded, and gives the illusion it will succeed in order to get men to agree with it. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, this is where we're going to get into Babel now. This is where we're going to get into Babel. Everyone speaks one language. There is one government. There is one purpose. There is one concentrated rebellion. There is an agreement among men to rebel. Ultimately, God confuses them, breaks up the agreement, breaks up their building project, confuses their language, because agreement is based upon alignment of communication, thoughts, and ideas. The second a group cannot communicate, the agreement weakens physically and spiritually. Revelation shows humanity attempting worldwide unity again, but this time it's way more complex than Babel. This time it's apart from God and an alliance with the beastly powers who then employ technology, media, and a host of weapons that were not at the disposal of Nimrod in his rebellion. The imagery suggests that the impulse first seen at Babel reaches its climactic expression. The enemy has continued to fine-tune the rebellion at Babel over time until it reaches its crescendo and its ultimate level of deception and rebellion in Revelation 17. Now, 1 Samuel 15:23, Samuel said, "For rebellion is as serious as the sin of witchcraft, and disobedience is as serious as false religion and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you as king." What Samuel the prophet says here is the key to Mystery Babylon. It is really the key and crux of Mystery Babylon joining with political powers. Rebellion is equal to the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft employs manipulation and dark spiritual power. This is how Babylon seduces its subjects. Disobedience is as idolatry. When you disobey, you are exalting yourself above God and his plan and trying to manipulate the outcome to what you say you want and you say it should be, not what God says it should be. Rebellion, witchcraft, disobedience, and idolatry are the matrix that come together to deceive governments of the world, peoples, and their nations, utilizing a host of tools and technologies that came from the kingdom of darkness that hell empowered men to build. The imagery is similar to how the Jews were made to build pagan Egypt that worshiped dark powers, all for Egypt then to turn on the people that built it and try to take them down. Now, back to Genesis 11, Babel. Genesis 11, verses 3 through 4. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." So they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top will reach into the heavens. And let us make a famous name for ourselves so that we will not be scattered into separate groups and be dispersed over the surface of the earth as the Lord had instructed." So the Lord instructed after the flood for them to scatter over the earth. They disobeyed. So there's the idolatry right there. They're already in idolatry because they're exalting their plan above God. And so they stay together as a group. Babel became the first organized rebellion against God after the flood. Now notice the progression. Adam sinned. Cain, who killed Abel, built the first city. Nimrod built the first empire. Babylon becomes, or Babel, organized rebellion, centralized government, false religion, human pride, economic power, and the persecution of God's people to utilize fear to cause the masses to submit. Everything Revelation describes began in Genesis. Revelation is the height of power and position for Mystery Babylon, as well as its catastrophic fall. Now, let me show you how this is pushing through in modern day, how Mystery Babylon globally is advancing. This is a shadow spiritual government that has been running in the background, that has been birthing forth and pushing the threshold of leadership, government, religion within the earth for thousands of years. This is a marathon to Mystery Babylon. It's not a sprint. So now I'm going to show you how this is at work. Okay. Here's the first one. Amazon reveals plan to build Tower of Babel opposite U.S. Capitol. Now, this was back in 2021. Amazon has just unveiled the plan for its new corporate headquarters that will stand in Arlington, Virginia, directly across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. The announcement inaccurately describes the design as a double helix, but scholars of ancient history and the Bible will readily recognize the ancient model for the design, the Tower of Babel. Here's something else that we're going to show you. This is recent. SpaceX and Tesla choose Texas for AI chip manufacturing plant that will be the world's largest building. TerraFab Texas will produce chips for Optimus robots, self-driving cyber cabs, and space-based data centers. SpaceX announced this week, which is this past week, that it's planned semiconductor plant that is expected to become the largest building in the world at more than 100 million square feet will be in Grimes, Texas. I'm going to show you something here. Outside of Houston, TerraFab Texas will be the largest and most valuable building on earth by far, owner Elon Musk wrote on X on Thursday, and it will be stunningly beautiful. The factory is a joint effort with Musk's electric car company called Tesla. Now, let me show you what spiritually is going on here, because it ties to what we're talking about. The location of now the world's largest building that Elon Musk plans to build is in Grimes, Texas. Grimes was Elon Musk's ex-girlfriend's name, who he had three children with. X-A-E-A-X-I-I, this is the name of the kids. Exadark Siderail, who they call Y, and Techno Mechanicus are the names of these children. Now, Siderail is actually another spelling of Siderail that has to do with the movement of the stars or constellations. It's a dark movement of the stars. Now, keep in mind, first of all, Elon Musk announces this days before six planets align in the heavenlies and a full solar eclipse happens. On the same day, on August 12th, he announces it right before this. The largest building in the world, they are building in a place called Grimes, Texas, right? And his children's names represent dark matter in the movement of the stars. Now, something's attempting to align with this, and we have to pay attention. If you take the location that they plan to build this building, Grimes, Texas, Grimes, the building TerraFab, the name of the building TerraFab, and the three names of his children, really, you only need to use two names to do this, the Exadark Siderail and Techno Mechanicus. If you take the details of what Elon Musk is planning to do, there is something hidden within it. And hidden within it, and we're going to show you, Grimes Building TerraFab, Exadark Siderail, Techno Mechanicus. You can spell Nimrod and Babel from the components of where he chooses to build the world's largest building. You can spell Nimrod and Babel from the details of this world's largest building project. Because remember, that's what Babylon wanted, a Babel. We're going to make the largest tower. We're going to make the largest building. Well, now Nimrod and Babel is hidden within the details of Elon Musk's new building project. Now, on top of this, I'm going to show you how else this is coming through, because that's not an accident that he wants to build the world's largest building, and hidden within the details and components of his life and where he's building his building, you can spell Nimrod and Babel. Now, the gospel of Silicon Valley, this is important, is the animating creed of the technology industry is transhumanism, the belief that technology can and should perfect the human being. When God is the perfecter, not technology, we will extend our lifespans indefinitely, augment our cognition with neural interfaces, merge our minds with artificial intelligence, and transcend the biological limitations that have always defined existence that, by the way, God put there. They forget that. Ray Kurzweil, Google's former director of engineering, by the way, Gog is in Google. So Gog, Magog, War of Ezekiel 38, the name Gog is in Google. Okay, this Ray Kurzweil, who is the director of engineering for Google, and they call him the transhumanist prophet, has predicted what he calls the singularity, the moment around 2045 when artificial intelligence surpasses human intelligence and humanity effectively merges with its machines, achieving a kind of technological immortality. That is the language of the beast system. This is the language of Mystery Babylon. What happened at Babel was a singularity, one mind, one accord, one focus, man's idea and engineering capabilities back then that were given by darkness merged. They're doing it again on a much larger scale to usher in this entire system. Now, I'm going to show you more examples of how this is coming through. Israel plans to build new 91-story Tower of Babel. This was in 2022. Israel reportedly plans to build a tower inspired by ancient biblical scrolls with designs that depict that at the that of the Tower of Babel in the Bible. WND said Tel Aviv's local planning and building committee have already approved the Azrieli Group's 91-story spiral tower, which is said to be Israel's tallest building at 1,150 feet tall. The spiral tower is estimated to cost $800 million and will be completed in 2026. Israel's 365 News cited Genesis 11:4 that spoke of the Tower of Babel and explained that Jewish tradition, particularly the Midrash, referred to the tower as having an idol on the top holding a sword so that it may appear as if it intended to war with God. The same tradition described the tower as having tall columns meant to protect it from a flood similar to that of Noah's. Now, this is foreshadowing what Revelation is talking about, what we are watching men do. Mystery Babylon is at work in the background. And more, they're pushing the threshold, and men are getting comfortable with hell's blueprints. So when the latter events of Revelation occur, men have been primed and conditioned to accept it. I'm going to show you another example right now. I'm going to show you a few more here. Babylon is coming back to life with its famed Ishtar Gate to be restored this summer. Now, this was back in 2022 as well. A new world monument fund project in Babylon, funded as part of a $3 million donation by the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, first bestowed in 2018, aims to repair and restore the famous Ishtar Gate. Main temple of Ishtar was in Nineveh. Nineveh was called a prostitute by the Lord. By this summer. This was back in 2022. Now remember, Babylon means gate of the gods. They are restoring the Ishtar Gate as a portal, as a continued construction of the highway between the spirit and the natural as Mystery Babylon advances and the beast system advances. Now, here's another example. Ken Ham is planning to rebuild the Tower of Babel, and what's the worst that could happen? This was back in 2021. He's the young earth creationist behind Answers in Genesis, who founded the Creation Museum in the Ark Encounter, exhibits that provide evidence for Ham's interpretation of the first few chapters of the Bible. Now he's looking to expand the Tower of Babel, which Ham says will be a replica of the tower itself. Well, what could go wrong? True, the one historic example we have of attempting to build the Tower of Babel led to calamity, but that was probably a one-time thing, right? As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, a man named Ken Ham wants to rebuild Babel. What could go wrong? Well, Noah in Genesis begot Ham. Ham was Noah's corrupt son. Ham had Canaan, and Canaan raised up a city named Ai. So in the days of Noah and the events of Revelation, Ham would rise, rebellion would rise, Ai would be raised up. When Christ is saying, as it was in the days of Noah, this is part of that. Because in the days of Noah and the book of Revelation, Ham would rise, rebellion would rise, and Ai would be raised up, because Ai came from Canaan, who Ham begot. Nimrod, who built Babel, was the son of Cush, who was Ham's oldest son. So in the last days, Ham would appear, Ai would be established, and Babel would be raised. These are brothers. You have to remember that. These are brothers. Ham and Cush are brothers. One birthed Ai and one birthed Babel and Nimrod. And this is what we see at work today. And a man named Ken Ham, of all people, is the one that wants to rebuild the Tower of Babel here. Okay, let's put this up. This is very recent. Turkey lays out plans for defense pact with Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. What could go wrong here either? Well, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan will group senior ministers hold joint exercises and deepen defense industry cooperation under a military pact signed between the regional powers last week. Turkey's defense ministry said on Thursday, the three Sunni Muslim U.S. allies, alarmed by a regional conflagration that has brought Iranian missile fire onto Gulf oil exporters, signed the Mecca Joint Defense Agreement on August 7th, 2026. Now, it's called the Mecca Joint Defense Agreement. Now, remember, August 2nd, 2027, Mecca, the city, will be plunged into darkness with a total solar eclipse lasting over 6 minutes, the longest in over a century. And a year before this eclipse that's going to plunge Mecca into darkness, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, which is where Mecca is, and Pakistan sign a defense pact called the Mecca Joint Defense Agreement. Now, the three men in the picture of the article, there were three men in that picture, in that article. They were Turkey's leader, Tayyip Erdogan, Saudi Arabia's Mohammed bin Salman, and Pakistan's Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif. Now, this is wild. Hidden within their names, Tayyip Erdogan, Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia, and Shahbaz Sharif, these are the ones that signed this Mecca Joint Defense Pact. Guess what's hidden within their names? Guess what you can spell? Mystery Babylon are hidden in the names of the leaders that just signed the Mecca Joint Defense Pact and just suddenly decided to come together and do this in that part of the world. Hidden within their names, you can spell Mystery Babylon, because it's at work in the background. This is why it's called Mystery Babylon, because it is a shadow spiritual government that has a strong religious component that has been at work in the background, in the spirit, pushing the agenda into the earth. And now these three men, from their names, who just decided to come together, by the way, you can spell Mystery Babylon. So I've just showed you quite a few examples of how this is all coming into the natural today. Now, Babel and AI are related because brothers had their offspring. So Ham begot Canaan, who raised up AI. Cush begot Nimrod. No, yeah, because Canaan and Cush are brothers. So Ham begot Canaan and Cush. Canaan raised up AI. Cush had Nimrod that raised up Babel. Babel and AI are related because brothers had their offspring. This is why they come together in the end, because they're from the same DNA. They're from the same family line. Now, Mystery Babylon represents on earth the rebellion that Satan led in heaven against the Lord when he was Lucifer. So Babylon's rebellious rise and catastrophic fall mirrors what happened, many believers believe, between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, which is when it is believed the rebellion happened in heaven, where Satan and a quarter of the angels, I believe it was, fell. Now, it appears that from Babel and its fall, all the false religions of the earth were scattered, replanted in various areas, and cultivated and raised up. Why is that? Nimrod, who was the son of Cush, who was the brother of Canaan, who raised up AI, married a prostitute. What is Mystery Babylon called? The mother of all prostitutes, the mother of all harlots. He marries a prostitute named Semiramis. Remember, the harlot riding the beast, Mystery Babylon, is a prostitute. It's a seducing spirit. It's employed by hell's system. It's pimped out by hell to lure the men of the earth. So Nimrod marries a prostitute. Nimrod dies. Semiramis becomes pregnant and claims through an elaborate deception, it's by immaculate conception. This is how the enemy attempts to get ahead of the plans of God and taint them, and claims she is carrying the reincarnation of Nimrod. The son born was named Tammuz, who became a false god. Semiramis becomes the queen of heaven. Nimrod becomes the false god of the sun. This then is scattered after Babel into different areas of the earth. The queen of heaven, the divine son, and the father. These were the building blocks for what becomes the powerful, formidable Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 when it reaches its climax. The false religions of the earth contain, all of them, contain these components. Now, if we look back at Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar, he built a golden image, a golden image. He made everyone bow down and worship the image or be thrown into the furnace. That was the foreshadowing of the Antichrist. It was believers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who refused, who were Jews, and they refused to bow down, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace where Christ already was and was with them in the fiery furnace, and they were protected miraculously and spared. The spirit of lawlessness has been at work in the sons of disobedience and in the earth since the rebellion in the garden, since the scattering at Babel, looking for a door, looking to build a system that would rival God. And we see the foreshadowing of its rise in leaders throughout scripture. And now we see the foreshadowings of it even more so today. Now, why is it called Babylon? Because Babylon throughout scripture becomes God's symbol for mankind's rebellion. It becomes the poster boy and the blueprint in which the spirit of Antichrist and lawlessness would continue to build upon. Every time a system falls, the enemy attempts to raise it back up, build it back better. He tries to build back better. The soul of that campaign slogan presented by Joe Biden in 2019 was rebellion. It was not wanting to do better. That was Mystery Babylon at work. It didn't want to do better or be a better leader by God's standards. It was a battle cry for rebellion against Almighty God and his ways. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. Hi, Toby. Says, The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with huge stone. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore, the Lord raises against Ephraim adversaries from Rezin and spurs their enemies on. That's the same thing. We're going to build back better. That's the whole mantra of Mystery Babylon. The mother. You're going to tear it down. We're just going to build it back better. And we're going to keep building it back better till we get to the beast system that we want. Now, in Genesis 11, the building of the Tower of Babel, man says, let us make a name for ourselves. Doesn't that sound close to let us make man in our own image in Genesis 1:26? Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. Now it's let us make a name for ourselves. We do not want to be known as God's creation under his authority. We want our own name. That is the whole premise for the rebellion Satan led in heaven. It is the whole premise for Babylon. It is the whole premise for the beast system. Let us, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, with Mystery Babylon riding that system, make a name for ourselves. From the beginning in the garden, it was to, quote, be like God. Satan now has man's participation in his building project to lead a rebellion all over again. In Isaiah 14, it talks about this. The king of Babylon represents pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction. Pride is always the catalyst and the way maker for destruction. Behind him, many interpreters also see the prideful fall of Satan in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, 13 through 16 says, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the ground. You have been weak. You who have weakened the nations, king of Babylon, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the remote parts of the north. I will ascend. I will be like God. I will raise my throne above God. This is what he's saying right here. But in fact, you will be brought down to Sheol, to the remote recessed part of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? The famous words, I will ascend, I will exalt, I will be like the Most High. That's what he was saying. It was blasphemous. Babylon becomes the spirit of self-exaltation by alternative means. Now, why the word mother? Well, for a few reasons. Because every false religion ultimately traces back to the same rebellion. Different forms, but same source. Mothers are supposed to nurture and rear up children. Well, this is what has happened. These very corrupt, false, blasphemous religions and the political systems of the beast have been reared up and nurtured one after the other through time. It's also the image of a woman on the beast. This is a woman. From the beginning in the Garden of Eden and man's rebellion against Almighty God, it was the woman who was the facilitator for the serpent to get man to forsake God's truth and come into a covenant with the deception of the serpent's doctrine. It was Eve who first hearkened onto the voice of the serpent and then was utilized as a tool of manipulation to get Adam to agree with the rebellion, which is deception. You see, the second Adam agreed with what Eve was saying, because she was speaking what the serpent said, Adam became deceived because he was willing to believe the talking points of the serpent over what God said, which was the first account of idolatry. Reject God's authority, exalt human wisdom. The altar of intellectualism globally operates under this premise. Reject God's authority, exalt human wisdom. This is why the AI race has heated up, because those who are leading the charge for the enemy believe that somehow AI is the key to their outmaneuvering God. We are going to exalt our human wisdom. above God's authority. Now, the connection to the mystery of lawlessness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul writes, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, but is restrained only until he who now restrains it is taken out of the way." The mystery of lawlessness can only go so far until the restrainer removes the boundary. Now, who is the restrainer? The restrainer is the Holy Spirit. That's who's restraining right now. And there's a boundary. And at some point, that boundary will be removed. And if you notice, the parallel language of the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. There's parallel throughout Scripture of this. There's a parallel between the mysteries of God, right? And then you've got the mystery of lawlessness because it's trying to be like God. What Paul is saying is that the spirit of rebellion is already active throughout history and reaches its fullest manifestation in the final rebellion depicted in Revelation. The enemy has to keep pushing the threshold of humanity to agree with the rebellion throughout the generations. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint until the final stretch. If the enemy were to push the entire agenda all at once, man would see the sheer evil, ugliness, and satanic nature, and most men would likely reject it. However, giving it and portioning it out, dose by dose, generation by generation, allows the threshold to be pushed further and further, and the amount of rebellion men will participate in increases. The amount of evil they will tolerate increases. The amount of alternative ideas outside of Almighty God that they will believe increases. Revelation 17:6 says, "I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus who were martyred. When I saw her, I wondered in amazement." The woman is drunk with the blood of the saints. She enjoys persecution. This is more than murder. It reveals hatred for God's people and a desire to shed innocent blood to power the very altars upon which Mystery Babylon has increased its power throughout the centuries and generations. Throughout history, this spirit has manifested repeatedly through different individuals with the same purpose. Pharaoh in Exodus wanted all the male baby boys thrown into the Nile and killed. Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down and worship his 90-foot golden image. Rome was vicious and cruel, and some of the worst and most wicked men and leaders, such as Nero, were cultivated out of that system of Rome, who authorized some of the worst persecution of Christians that ever occurred. Jesus Christ himself was killed during the Roman Empire and the Roman reign. Saul, who became Paul, persecuted Christians aggressively during the Roman Empire. Various persecuting powers across different eras. The final manifestation gathers all previous hostility together. It multiplies the power, the hostility, and condenses it into one highly aggressive, vicious, blasphemous, potent persecution and power advance within the earth. Now, John marvels at this, the sight of this woman being drunk on the blood of the saints. Why? Perhaps because evil appears beautiful. It appears as such an alluring sight on the surface that John cannot even look away. She's dressed in gold and pearls and purple and this and that, but she's so wicked. Because the beauty is the vehicle to seduce the men into wickedness, because this is a seducing spirit. Remember, one of the main tactics of a prostitute is to allure and seduce. It's a compelling force that seduces men into the grip of Mystery Babylon. It's attractive and it's shocking. Something that looks so beautiful is so wicked. Sin rarely appears ugly at first. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. "And no wonder, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, so it is no great surprise if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds." The Greek word here for masquerade is metaschematio. It is a compound verb comprised of meta, which implies change, and schema, a figure or fashion having to do with appearance. So one who changes their appearance to appear righteousness, one who masquerades as righteous. Revelation 17, 15. Verse 15 explains this symbol. The waters are peoples, multitudes, nations, languages. She influences the entire world. This is not merely a local kingdom. Her influence is global. And this is where we are going to pause it for tonight as I look at my word, because this is about where Revelation 17 ends. And actually, the very last verse is Revelation 17, 18. The woman who you saw is the great city which reigns over and dominates and controls the kings and the political leaders of the earth. And that is where Revelation 17 ends. That is where Revelation 17 ends. And what we'll be doing is we will be going into the fall of Mystery Babylon. So we will be going into Revelation chapter 18 and 19 and the fall of Mystery Babylon. We're also going to be going into Revelation 2 and the message to the seven churches, because there's a lot there that has to do with today. But this is where we're going to stop for tonight. That is a lot that I just threw at you there with this chapter. I don't think you can just glaze over this chapter. I don't think Revelation 17 is meant to be taught in a superficial manner. I think you have to get people to understand the shadow spiritual governmental religious system in the spirit, Mystery Babylon, that is behind compelling these kingdoms of the earth, pushing these thresholds that they're pushing these thresholds that we see with AI, all because it's riding the beast system. It's helping usher it in. It's helping announce it. It's helping seduce the men of the earth into it. That's what we have to understand. That's what Mystery Babylon is all about. It's not just one place. It's not just America. Has Mystery Babylon been at work in America? You bet it has. Has it been at work within leadership of America? You bet it has. Just look at the altar that Barack Obama has built up out of Chicago. Mystery Babylon is at work with its agenda in all the nations of the earth. You see, this is why, because it wants to persecute and kill the people of God with a viciousness. This is why, in a way, they've tried to kill President Trump so much, because he hasn't totally come into agreement with their shadow agenda. And this harlot looks to seduce the leaders of the earth in order to greatly push and advance the beast that it's riding, and get men and compel men into that beast system and into that religious mindset of worshiping the beast. She is the temple prostitute that helps people worship the image. That's what she is. She is the mother of all temple prostitutes that help people worship the image. And this is what Mystery Babylon is. And we will be putting all of the notes up on the blog that you can go print for free, and you can look into it more. And I suggest you go to Revelation 17 yourself and you get deeper and deeper into it. So I just have a few more things before we close for tonight. Update on Toby. We got the CAT scan results back for Toby. His tumor is localized right now that he's fighting. The tumor he's fighting, it is not spread. They have cleared him for surgery. So please pray. We are going to be scheduling that surgery and then starting him on a bunch of holistic therapies. So Toby has been cleared for surgery. Chester right now, we're still waiting on the result of the biopsy. Please pray for Chester. We did move a litter box upstairs for him right now because he is moving slightly slow. He is fighting anemia right now. Thank you for all your prayers with Chester. We met with the holistic consultant yesterday, and she is starting Chester on a complete regimen that we are going to try, that she has done on other cats. So we are moving in that direction with Chester as well. Also, Awaken the Nation. I'm going to be at Awaken the Nation in Washington, D.C., September 18th to the 20th. You could go to arcofgrace.org/events to learn more. You could use promo code ARCVIP, and you can register. Looking very forward to seeing you there. But yep, Awaken the Nation, September 18th to 20th in Washington, D.C. Okay, and we're going to put up Givaderm first. This is Givaderm. It is an incredible all-natural skincare line, and these women absolutely love the Lord who have it, and we love them for that. It is food for your face. It is an incredible natural skincare line that both me and my husband, Chris, use. In fact, the Givaderm ladies are so nice. They send Chris his own box now that they write Chris on it and make him feel all wonderful, and I'm just very grateful to them for that. But I absolutely love their products. Some of my favorites are the Uplift, the eye cream, the body lotion. I also use the Mother Slugger as a primer before I put on my makeup, but it is incredible, incredible skincare, and you don't have to worry about it either around your pets. And in the age of chemical-filled skincare, this is skincare you can feel good about using. So if you go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and click on Givaderm, you can use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. We also have the Amanda Collection, which is a collection of my favorite Givaderm products with a few extra gifts added in. And we'll put up Century H2O. This is Century H2O, an incredible five-stage water treatment system. They have them for under the sink. They have them for your whole house. They have them that you can attach to your hose to feed your horses and your livestock. Incredible, clean water that removes harmful toxins, that increases the pH. It has a filter lifespan of up to a year. It is great for apartments, homes, RVs. It is great for your livestock. Your pet's water matters. What you give your pets, what kind of water, let me tell you, it does matter as much as you give it yourself. So you can use promo code GRACE10 for a 10% discount, and you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can click on Century H2O from there. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, good. We got through all of it. Praise God. We got through all the notes tonight. We did it. We ran a marathon tonight, but praise God, we did it. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to our moderators and our team. We're looking forward to being on with you live early next week. Next week is a big week because Wednesday is my birthday, and only God could have orchestrated me turning 47 years old in the 47th presidency in the year Iran fell after 47 years, after the Lord had me prophesy about Iran and President Trump. So it's kind of an amazing alignment that has happened, but my birthday is next Wednesday, so I will be on Monday live. We will be putting out shorts. And you could go check out our shorts. We've already put out quite a few of them. All glory be to God, have gone viral in the past 4 days. And we're very grateful for that. But we are looking forward to being back on. Of course, if something happens over the weekend, well, you just may see me pop on an emergency live. But we thank all of you for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful evening, a wonderful weekend. And we want to encourage you in the word. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. There are other Psalms on the screen for you to get into, read, and start speaking and getting into the discipline of speaking the word. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I speak those scriptures every night before bed, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Also, Revelation 17. Go and read it for yourself, because we're going to be talking about the fall of Babylon in the coming near future, the fall of Mystery Babylon and what happens. There's a lot of imagery there of things that we have watched happen throughout history that we're going to be getting into. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening. Keep the faith, and we will see you back on live on Monday.